Oscar's priceless.
Ryan had spent some of his waking hours trying to look ahead and guess how Court Strasser might react. The former sec boss would have Doc by now. He might have chilled the old man, but Ryan didn't see that as a likely possibility. Doc alive was far more valuable than Doc dead, and Strasser had always been strong on values. Mildred was a different matter. There was still a chance that the black woman remained safe, hidden by the sheer numbers of the settlers on the wag train, until someone saw the value of betraying her. Ryan's choice for that role was Elder Vare. By now, it was more than a possibility that Strasser was aware that Ryan and the others were somewhere out there. So, Strasser would try to take them. That was one area where there wasn't any doubt at all. Forgiving and forgetting didn't feature in Court Strasser's mind. Stay or run? To run was a tempting option. With the horses tethered back up the hill, they could put a lot of distance between themselves and salvation, loop around south toward the Grandee, and carry on like before.
Like nothing happened.
Ryan sat by the back door of the ruined house, watching the first tendrils of light from the false dawn creeping across the sky. He shook his head.
No, at least not yet.
Despite what his tactical mind told him, there was no way he could just walk away from Doc and Mildred. Not until all the other options had totally disappeared. If they were dead, he'd probably try to pick off Strasser with the G-12 and then run. As long as he knew they were both alive, he'd do what he could. JB appeared out of the dim half-light at his shoulder, wiping smears of condensation from his glasses. The night had been cool.
We staying, Ryan?
Yeah, for a while. That okay with you?
The slight figure nodded.
Sure. Hell, I knew it all along, buddy.
None of the prisoners was fed that morning. Strasser and his force were too busy for that kind of consideration. A cauldron of creek water was carried in, and the settlers straggled up to dip their cupped hands in it and drink. When Doc had been returned to the others, he'd made a deliberate attempt to keep away from Mildred, knowing that Strasser was wily enough to watch him and see if he had any special friends among the group. Mildred had caught his warning signal and had stayed away, waiting until Doc joined the line for water. Then she managed to push in alongside him in the gloomy confines of the engine shed, glancing around to make sure none of the armed guards were paying them any special attention.
You all right?
Thank you, ma'am. The agony has somewhat abated now.
What?
Mildred wondered if Doc had really slithered back over the edge.
They know about Ryan and the others.
How? You tell them, Doc?
Oh, there was a choice, Dr. Wyeth. I could have simply sat in that luxurious coach and watched as Strasser popped children's eyes from their sockets.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry, Doc. Truly.
He knows Ryan and the others are somewhere out there, but he doesn't know where. He'll try to hunt them down this morning.
Christy had found an old photograph, its glass cracked, fallen behind the shell of one of the beds. It showed three children, two boys and a girl, squinting at the camera on a placid, sun-drenched afternoon before sky dark. Someone had written the names of the three children very neatly beneath the picture. Though it had faded, it was still legible. Kathy, Bobby, and Randall, the three immortals. Ryan read the inscription and laid the photo back on the floor in a corner.
Immortals, eh?
Jack appeared on the other side of the rotted screen of the front door.
Company!
Ryan and JB had talked through their plans, though it was totally flexible, depending on what Strasser did. With about 30 men and women under his control, the ex-Moxon sec boss wasn't likely to commit them all to a dangerous chase. He also had about 100 prisoners, which would require at least a dozen guards. Salvation was a small ville, but the buildings were well spread and largely overgrown. Jack walked into the living room.
What if we get a chance to chill the fuckers?
Good question.
Ryan glanced at JB.
We stay hid. Strasser might figure we're long gone. He could relax.
The armorer bit his lip.
You figure that, Ryan?
Nah, guess not. Too much iron and blood between us. He'll know we'll come back. So if you get a safe chance to take one of them out, do it.
Major Ward stood to one side, hands hooked in his belt.
I was never that good at close-in fighting.
That's fair. Man says he can do what he can't, can screw up everything. Just keep with us and keep quiet. That's the main thing. Quiet. And keep watching for any signal. Worst comes to it and you have to start shooting. Make all the bullets count, all right?
The Wagmaster tugged at his neat silver mustache.
Sure.
What?
Never shot a man before.
Fucking Major my ass.
Good time to think about starting, Major.
Strasser did it exactly the way that Ryan would have done it. Two men, each side of the township, covering any possible break from the buildings. The rest in a skirmish line, moving through the ville and checking out every house, store, and garage. But the derelict home that Ryan and the others had chosen was off the main drag, near the edge of the ville, some way off from the railroad terminal. And searching for armed killers is a very slow and nerve-wracking business. There could be a blaster behind every door and window, in every loft and cellar, under every shrub and clump of mesquite. Strasser's gang was full of Iceheart killers, but they weren't a disciplined sec force. Within an hour, there were complaints, and the line was beginning to straggle and break up. Jack sneaked out, Magnum in his belt, and one of his lethal throwing knives clenched in his teeth. He reappeared in a half hour, a feral grin showing his teeth, eyes glittering like bright rubies. He glanced back over his shoulders toward the enveloping yew hedge.
Lost it.
They still coming?
Sure. Some giving up. Some one house, some others. Hot, tired, fuck useless.
Ryan glanced out of the back window. There was a fresh temptation to leave the house and head for the dry creek bed, try to work around beyond the deteriorating line of hunters. But he resisted, knowing that the best cards would still lie in his hand if they all kept together and waited. Their own water supply was shrinking fast, but the afternoon was well on, and once dark came, it would be relatively simple to creep around to the river. The house also protected Ryan and the others from the worst of the day's heat. It was very warm and sultry, with insects humming busily through the low-ceilinged rooms. But the pitiless power of the brazen sun was kept outside. Each of them took a quadrant, waiting below the level of the windows, every now and again risking a quick glance. Ryan kept moving around, pausing and listening by the front and rear doors. Jack offered to go out again for a rec, and after some thought, Ryan agreed. The more they knew about Strasser's plans against them, the better they might combat them. This time, the albino boy was back in less than 10 minutes.
Close. Got tree now on hill, far side of creek, watching. Some gone back. All split up. Not alike. Strasser's far side street.
How many houses away, Jack?
JB drew his technoknife with its distinctive serrated back edge.
Three.
Time to get ourselves ready, friends.
Ryan drew his own heavy-bladed panga and spat lightly on the steel. Rather than bunch together, it had been agreed that they would split up and hide themselves separately amongst the lush vegetation of the garden. Ryan picked a huge clump of brilliantly flowering hedgehog cactus, sliding in behind it, his back against the impenetrable wall of yew. Outside, in the later afternoon sunshine, he could now hear Strasser's hunters drawing closer. He slowed his breath and waited.
Time to party.
Strasser had taken up a position on the western side of the main street, keeping himself in the spreading pools of shade as much as possible. As the abortive search dragged on, he was beginning to regret his decision to scour the ville. His men were tiring, and it had been necessary to flog one of them into bloody unconsciousness to prevent a direct challenge to his authority. He tried to put himself into Ryan's mind, struggling to guess what the one-eyed man might be planning. All he could hold to was the certainty that Ryan wouldn't have left the ville while the old cretin Tanner was still in his hands. But where? They'd already combed through nearly three-quarters of Salvation, and there hadn't been the least sign of them. He saw his lieutenant go across one of the side streets, still twirling the nunchaku sticks.
Rafe!
Yeah, boss?
Keep them at it!
Sir!
The one who finds them gets the pick of any five of the prisoners, for anything they want. Tell him that.
Rafe held up his right hand, bringing finger and thumb together. As he half turned away again, Strasser called again to him.
And tell him to watch out!
Peering around the spikes of the cactus, Ryan was able to see the corner of the house and part of the wall near the broken front door, watching as Strasser's patrol finally reached them.
Tired and careless.
There were four, three men and a woman in torn pants. All carried M16s, and all looked as if they came from somewhere close to the Grandee. They were only going through the motions, and if Ryan and the others had been hiding inside the house, all four would have died almost immediately. Two waited outside, either side of the door, while the other pair ran half-heartedly inside.
Hey!
here!
The four rushed inside, and Ryan could glimpse them through the dulled glass of the side window, moving around the rooms. Using the baffled silencer on the Sig Sauer, Ryan was tempted